demonstrate knowledge of networks and connectivity and definition of terms. The study of brain networks and connectivity has become a central focus in neuroscience, offering profound insights into how different brain regions communicate and function collectively. These networks represent the organized and dynamic interactions among neurons and brain areas that support cognition, behavior, and sensorimotor processing. Advances in neuroimaging and computational methods have enabled researchers to describe and quantify connectivity patterns with increasing precision. This lecture addresses the core definitions, metrics, and implications of connectivity analyses, with a particular focus on functional, structural, and affective connectivity. Additionally, it examines how quantitative electroencephalography, QEG, metrics capture dynamic relationships across regions and explores key brain networks, including the default mode, salience, and executive networks. The content culminates in discussing how connectivity insights are integrated into clinical assessments for neurological and psychiatric disorders. These understandings are not only foundational for neuroscience research, but also critical for clinicians seeking to interpret abnormal cognitive or behavioral presentations in terms of network dysfunction. As the field grows, an integrative understanding of these connectivity principles provides a roadmap for future diagnostics, interventions, and advances in personalized medicine. Introduction. Brain networks and connectivity refer to the systems and interactions among different brain regions that allow for integrated functioning. These systems support various domains such as perception, memory, language, and executive functioning. Connectivity can be explored at multiple levels, from the synaptic connections among neurons to large-scale systems spanning cortical and subcortical structures. Techniques such as EEG, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and diffusion tensor imaging provide ways to assess these levels. Understanding these interactions helps explain how the brain operates as a cohesive unit rather than isolated functional centers. Furthermore, disruptions in network integrity can be linked to specific neurological and psychiatric symptoms, emphasizing the importance of these frameworks in clinical neuroscience. At a practical level, mapping these networks allows for identifying biomarkers for disease progression, cognitive resilience, and treatment response. Additionally, an understanding of connectivity dynamics aids in designing targeted interventions, such as transcranial magnetic stimulation protocols or cognitive remediation strategies that aim to restore or enhance functional communication between regions. Definition of key terms. Functional connectivity refers to the statistical dependencies between spatially distinct brain regions. It captures how similar the activity in different regions is over time, often measured using correlations and signals obtained from EEG or blood oxygen level, dependent signals in fMRI. For example, during rest, high correlations between the posterior cingulate cortex and medial prefrontal cortex reflect the engagement of the default mode network. Structural connectivity, by contrast, refers to the anatomical pathways, primarily white matter tracts, that physically connect different parts of the brain. This is often visualized using diffusion tensor imaging, which tracks water diffusion along axons and reconstructs fiber pathways, such as the arcuate fasciculus connecting Brodmann areas involved in language. Affective connectivity refers to the influence one region exerts over another, incorporating both directionality and causality in interregional communication. This concept is often modeled using techniques such as Granger causality and dynamic causal modeling. This enables inference about the relative contributions of top-down versus bottom-up regulatory control between cortical regions. A small world network is a network configuration characterized by high local clustering and short global path lengths, indicating that regions are both tightly integrated locally and efficiently connected across long distances. This property supports fast information transfer and robust processing, akin to efficient social networks where localized groups still maintain broad connectivity. Finally, hubs are nodes with a high degree of connections that serve as central integrators within a network, facilitating communication between disparate brain areas and contributing to the brain's resilience and flexibility. For instance, the anterior cingulate cortex acts as a hub by integrating emotional and cognitive inputs from multiple domains, and damage to such regions can result in widespread dysfunction. These foundational terms provide the framework for studying brain architecture and serve as the basis for interpreting connectivity data in health and disease. Connectivity metrics. Quantitative EEG, or QEG, connectivity metrics provide objective measures of the interaction among brain regions, offering insight into both static and dynamic properties of brain networks. These metrics help distinguish between normal and pathological patterns of communication. Functional metrics, such as coherence, capture the degree to which signals are synchronized across specific frequency bands, indicating whether regions operate in concert. Coherence is quantified by examining the cross-spectral density between two signals, yielding values from 0 to 1. In practice, increased coherence in the alpha band during resting states suggests integrative activity, whereas reduced coherence in frontal regions may signal impaired executive functioning. Comodulation evaluates the correlation in amplitude envelopes between different frequencies or regions, shedding light on the temporal coupling of oscillatory activity across domains. This is particularly useful in identifying nested oscillations, such as theta-gamma coupling involved in memory encoding. The phase lag index, which captures the consistency of phase differences across time, offers a measure less confounded by volume conduction. This is especially relevant when determining true interregional communication rather than artifactually synchronized signals. Imaginary coherence further addresses the volume conduction problem by focusing on non-zero lag synchronizations in the imaginary domain of the cross spectrum. This metric is applied in studies of psychosis where spurious coherence may otherwise mask underlying disconnection. Amplitude envelope correlation tracks how the magnitude of oscillations co-varies over time between regions, reflecting slow modulation patterns. These envelope relationships can be linked to fluctuations in arousal or attentional states. Granger causality, a model-based approach, assesses whether past values of one signal predict future values of another, indicating effective directional connectivity. This is particularly useful in dynamic tasks or resting state paradigms, where directional influence among networks can be compared before and after intervention. These metrics provide a different window into how the brain's electrical signals coordinate across space and time, collectively enriching our understanding of neural communication. Applications of QEG connectivity metrics. The clinical relevance of QEG connectivity metrics extends to a wide range of neurological and psychiatric disorders. In epilepsy, coherence and phase-based measures can localize dysfunctional networks that give rise to seizure activity, aiding in both diagnosis and surgical planning. For instance, focal increases in beta coherence may precede the onset of ictal zones. In psychiatric disorders such as major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder, altered coherence and comodulation patterns have been identified within the default mode and salience networks, supporting their role as biomarkers of dysregulated affective processing. Reduced connectivity between the medial prefrontal cortex and limbic structures may reflect impaired emotion regulation. Developmental conditions such as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder often exhibit abnormal connectivity within the executive network, particularly between frontal and parietal regions, correlating with deficits in attention and impulse control. For example, reduced frontoparietal coherence in the theta band has been associated with working memory deficits in children with ADHD. These findings have implications for treatment planning, including the use of neurofeedback interventions tailored to individual connectivity profiles. QEG metrics have also been employed in neurodegenerative conditions, where declining coherence in alpha and beta bands may indicate progressive network breakdown, as observed in Alzheimer's disease. Furthermore, these metrics are being explored to evaluate therapeutic responses to interventions such as pharmacotherapy, brain stimulation, and cognitive training, allowing for the longitudinal monitoring of functional integration. The use of these metrics across various clinical domains supports their value in differential diagnosis, prognosis, and the development of individualized treatment strategies. Conclusion. The ability to quantify and interpret patterns of brain connectivity has transformed clinical neuroscience. QEG connectivity metrics, ranging from coherence to Granger causality, allow for detailed characterization of both functional and affective interactions. These methods offer new pathways for understanding the neural underpinnings of cognition and emotion and for developing individualized, network-informed interventions. The clinical utility of these metrics is especially evident in disorders involving circuit dysregulation, where traditional assessments fall short. Integrating QEEG findings with structural and behavioral data enhances diagnostic precision and guides personalized therapeutic approaches. As computational methods and neurotechnological tools advance, the accessibility and interpretability of connectivity measures will continue to improve, further embedding them into both research and clinical paradigms. In the long term, understanding and targeting dysfunctional connectivity patterns will enable clinicians to move beyond symptom-based approaches and toward precision interventions to restore healthy brain network dynamics. Brain networks, the default mode network. The default mode network is primarily active during rest and is implicated in self-referential thought, memory retrieval, and internal mentation. Key nodes include the medial prefrontal cortex, posterior cingulate cortex, and inferior parietal lobule. During wakeful rest or passive activities, this network supports inward-focused processes such as daydreaming, planning, and evaluating the emotional significance of past and future events. It deactivates during goal-directed tasks, underscoring its reciprocal role with networks involved in attention and task execution. The DMN's connectivity is typically strongest in the alpha and low beta bands, especially during eyes-closed conditions, and serves as a baseline system of ongoing cerebral activity. Abnormalities in default mode network connectivity are implicated in a variety of mental health conditions. In major depressive disorder, hyperconnectivity within the DMN has been associated with excessive rumination and impaired cognitive control. In schizophrenia, there may be decreased connectivity between DMN hubs, leading to impaired self-referential processing and social cognition. Furthermore, altered connectivity patterns in the DMN are increasingly recognized as early biomarkers of neurodegenerative disorders, such as Alzheimer's disease, where functional disconnection precedes structural atrophy. Understanding these disruptions has practical implications for treatment planning, particularly in designing cognitive or pharmacological interventions targeting excessive internal mentation or attentional control. Interventions targeting the default mode network are now emerging. Techniques such as mindfulness-based training, cognitive behavioral therapy, and certain neuromodulation protocols aim to recalibrate DMN activity by enhancing regulatory control from frontal executive regions. Using posterior alpha modulation, EEG neurofeedback may reduce excessive DMN activation and improve attentional flexibility. Clinical trials involving transcranial magnetic stimulation have also begun to target medial prefrontal regions to mitigate DMN hyperactivity in mood disorders. Collectively, these approaches reflect a shift toward connectivity-informed interventions where the goal is to restore balance among major networks. The DMN does not function in isolation. It dynamically interacts with other networks, such as the salience and executive networks, to regulate transitions between introspective and externally focused states. Efficient switching between networks, facilitated by the salience network, supports adaptive cognition. When this coordination fails, as in ADHD or autism spectrum disorders, individuals may experience difficulties shifting attention or maintaining focus. Thus, understanding the role of the DMN within broader network hierarchies is essential for interpreting cognitive performance and behavioral regulation in clinical populations. The salience network. The salience network is responsible for detecting and integrating behaviorally relevant or emotionally significant stimuli. Its core nodes include the anterior insula and dorsal anterior cingulate cortex, regions that receive converging inputs from sensory, emotional, and cognitive pathways. This network is central in allocating attention and resources towards stimuli that demand immediate action or deeper cognitive processing. It is a dynamic switch between the default mode network and the executive network, initiating network transitions based on environmental demands. In healthy brains, the salience network enables efficient prioritization of information, ensuring that internal and external cues are appropriately balanced. In clinical disorders, disruptions in the salience network can lead to atypical stimulus processing. In autism spectrum disorders, reduced connectivity within this network may underlie difficulties with social attention and sensory integration. In contrast, hyperactivity in the salience network has been observed in anxiety disorders, potentially contributing to heightened sensitivity to threat-related cues. Frontotemporal dementia, particularly the behavioral variant, often involves degeneration in salience network nodes, leading to profound changes in social behavior and emotional responsiveness. These findings underscore the salience network's role in shaping effective and interpersonal functioning and its vulnerability in several pathologies. From a therapeutic perspective, interventions targeting the salience network include behavioral therapies that retrain attentional control and social engagement, and pharmacological approaches that modulate arousal and threat sensitivity. Neurofeedback protocols focused on insular and anterior cingulate activity have shown promise in modulating salience processing in individuals with anxiety and PTSD. Furthermore, neuromodulation techniques such as real-time fMRI feedback and transcranial direct current stimulation are being explored to enhance salience discrimination and improve cognitive-emotional integration. The salience network's importance extends to its regulatory role in coordinating the brain's response to unpredictable events. It helps initiate network reconfigurations in response to novel or significant stimuli. Impaired switching capability, such as reduced insular activation in response to salient events, may result in perseveration or an inability to disengage from irrelevant stimuli. This dysfunction is evident in conditions like schizophrenia or obsessive-compulsive disorder, where the dynamic flexibility of the salience network is compromised. Its study continues to inform diagnostic models and the development of precision interventions to restore efficient network transitions. The executive network. The executive network, also known as the central executive or executive control network, is integral to goal-directed behavior, working memory, and cognitive flexibility. Core nodes include the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and posterior parietal cortex, regions essential for maintaining and manipulating information, task switching, and suppressing irrelevant inputs. This network activates during high-demand tasks and is essential for adaptive planning and decision-making. It operates in opposition to the default mode network, becoming more active during attentionally demanding tasks and less active during rest. Effective communication within the executive network is critical for maintaining mental performance under stress or distraction. In conditions such as ADHD, the executive network demonstrates underconnectivity, particularly in the theta and beta bands, which correlates with impaired impulse control and working memory performance. In Alzheimer's disease, progressive disconnection within this network contributes to task management and decision-making difficulties. Similarly, in schizophrenia, disruptions in executive connectivity contribute to disorganized thinking and impaired cognitive control. These disruptions are often mirrored in behavioral deficits, including poor attention span, difficulty adapting to new rules, and increased distractibility. The presence of such patterns can aid in early diagnosis and treatment stratification. Rehabilitative and enhancement strategies often target the executive network to improve cognitive performance. Cognitive training programs focusing on working memory and task flexibility have demonstrated activation changes in executive hubs. EEG neurofeedback targeting frontal beta or SMR activity may enhance prefrontal coherence, while pharmacological agents such as stimulants modulate network engagement in ADHD populations. Non-invasive brain stimulation targeting the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex has shown promise in modulating executive control in both clinical and aging populations. These interventions aim to strengthen the regulatory capacity of the network and improve overall cognitive functioning. The executive network must cooperate with other brain systems to support adaptive functioning. It collaborates with the salience network to determine which stimuli warrant executive resources and with the default mode network to downregulate self-referential activity during task engagement. Inefficient coordination among these systems results in diminished task performance and increased cognitive fatigue. For instance, integrating executive and salience processing is critical for successful emotion regulation and problem-solving under uncertainty. Mapping these interactions through QEEG and functional imaging informs not only our understanding of executive processes but also strategies for cognitive enhancement across diverse clinical populations. Conclusion: the study of brain networks and connectivity has redefined our understanding of neural function and dysfunction. By delineating key concepts such as functional, structural, and affective connectivity, and by applying sophisticated QEG metrics, researchers and clinicians can map the communication pathways that underlie both health and disease. Examining core brain networks like the default mode, salience, and executive networks further contextualizes how integrated systems contribute to behavior and cognition. When paired with clinical examinations, connectivity insights enrich diagnostic frameworks and inform individualized interventions. These approaches promise to enhance both theoretical knowledge and practical applications, promoting a deeper, more nuanced understanding of the brain's dynamic architecture. In the future, continued advancement in network science will facilitate predictive modeling, early diagnosis, and adaptive treatments grounded in each individual's unique neurophysiological signature.